they were exorcists, exorcising, casting demons out of people. And they decided that they would try the name of Jesus to cast out a devil that inhabited a certain possessed man. And they said, we adjure you, we implore you, by Jesus, whom Paul preaches about, that you would depart from this man. And we think, well, that sounds okay. That might just work. Use the name of Jesus and the devil is going to depart. The demon that was in the man says to those seven sons, Jesus I know, or we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And he threw the man in which that he possessed, he leaped upon the seven men, and they left naked and wounded, beat them. And in fact, if we flip to that place in Acts, I think it's the 19th chapter of Acts, it tells us that the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And so that tells us that demons are more powerful than we are. And it also tells us that if the name of Jesus is not used by faith, it has no avail. It cannot work in casting out demons. They thought, this would be good. Paul preaches about this. Jesus, let's try that. There is no formula involving the name of Jesus that will give the effect of casting a demon out of any of our hearts. But what happened as a result of that demon proclaiming that he knows Jesus, he knows Paul? Isn't that a sobering thing? To think that, the demons know the children of God also and what it is that they preach. He says, we know Paul. We know Jesus. But who are you? They could identify an imposter. Maybe more swiftly than even believers can identify an imposter. Who knows? But the effect of it was that it was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus. Fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts, occultic things, brought their books together and burned them before all men, worth 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What an amazing story. It tells us that when it comes to the possession of an individual by a devil, there is no formula, there is no power that we have, there is no seance, there is no tricks, there is no exorcism that can work, but only by God's word and by His Spirit and by the name of Jesus Christ by faith can any of this be done. And Jesus said, If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Then the kingdom of God is come unto you. If I cast out these devils by the Spirit of God. And then he talks about what I think can hit close home to each one of us. It's recorded also in Luke. And he talks about a strong man's house. He talks about entering into a strong man's house. And if we think about it for a moment, I think Luke talks about it and says that he had armor in which he trusted. The 11th chapter of Luke says actually that when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And so we have the vision of a strong man ruling a house. And what does it take to rule the house of a strong man? It takes a stronger one to come, to bind the strong man, and then he can rule the house. They can't rule it together. They can't share. And also it tells us that he must be bound. And so, and by the way, when it talks about a strong man and so on, we recognize that we're talking about man in the sense of male and female, as we hear in Genesis, that he created man in his own image, male and female created he them. And so we never want to mistake that we are talking in these cases about men and women alike when we talk about man, and even a strong one. Because we think, well, the ladies can not bother reading this verse. They're not strong men, so they don't need to bother worrying about this verse, but they do. And so it tells us, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, rule the house, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. That only makes sense, and it tells us that a stronger must come. What is your experience? When you think of the heart of faith that God has given to you, when you think of Jesus Christ the Lord living in your heart, I ask you, in order to do that, did Jesus subdue a strong man or a weak one? What glory is it to subdue a weak one? The glory in any battle is to subdue a strong one. And even though here, certainly we are talking about Satan, the devil himself, and Jesus' victory over the devil, but this strikes my heart so strongly that we are also talking about my heart and your heart. That we are the strong man in our flesh. It is not weak. It is weak against temptation, but it is not weak in pride. The seven deadly sins that are spoken of in the Old Testament, what's the first one? A proud look, then a lying tongue, and so on. But a proud look is the first of all of those seven. And I stand before you tonight as one who can testify that the Lord defeated a strong man when he dealt with my heart. He defeated a proud man. He defeated one who did trust in himself and despised others. And I am so deeply thankful that God's grace extended to me at a relatively young age when I was in that place. And yes, I had the armor in which I trusted, as Luke tells us. My pride, strength, intellect, whatever all it was that I credited as good within myself, I had those things that I trusted in. And it took the work of God and the power of God, and it took a stronger one to come and to bind that strong man in order that he might rule the house. Is that also your experience? Have you found that Jesus didn't have to do a whole lot of work when he arrived? Or do you find that he had to do it all? And that he had to take you from a place of pride and arrogance to a place of humility and a place of thankfulness and a place of grace? That, I believe, also is the meaning of this verse. That the strong man lives within the human heart. The strong man rules the human heart. And there are many in the world today who have their defenses that they trust in. There are many who find many things that they trust in within their own heart. They are strong. In fact, doesn't Luke even tell us that? It's interesting. It says actually that when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And we sometimes wonder, how can anyone that is not in faith have peace? No, they don't have the peace of an everlasting life. They don't have the peace that comes from faith in Christ Jesus. But they have a peace of sorts because of what it is that they trust in. But thanks to God that He cares enough to disturb that peace and tear down the work and the defenses of that strong man, and is able to replace it with the stronger one, who will then rule the house. May my heart and your heart be encouraged in this, that the one who rules the house, the heart, was stronger. In fact, wouldn't that be a nice, maybe not, gravestone? The Lord was stronger. Or a stronger man won. Would that not be a precious testimony for any one of us? That they would be able to say, no matter who he was, no matter who she was, no matter what they accomplished or what they did, a stronger one was there. A stronger one came. A stronger one won the battle. I wouldn't mind that for a headstone. Because it is the Lord who gives that strength and is the strong one. And I pray that God would lift our hearts in joy in knowing that He, when He rules the heart, does not share the heart with the former strong man, but rather He binds him. He has defeated him. And may we remember He has been defeated. And we by faith can reckon ourselves, as Paul says, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know if any of us will ever be faced with the situation that is before us here, one possessed with a devil. I suspect maybe so, because there are those still, and always will be in time, those who are so possessed. But this little story gives us the assurance that we know where to look, we know where to turn, we know that there is one that is stronger, and we know that the devils also believe and tremble at that mighty name. May God give us His grace in that this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day of grace. We give thanks for this evening of fellowship. We give thanks for the weekend in which we can come and set aside our earthly occupations and cares, if even for a few moments. And we give thanks that the Word of God is sure and it is powerful, it is quick, and that it always is there. Heavenly Father, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit that it might enlighten us. We ask for grace as we go to the night and for a blessed day also tomorrow. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.